The message today is trust in things other than divine. Trusting things other than divine. I want to read you several scriptures in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And first of all, starting at Psalm 20. Now remember, trust in things other than divine. What does that mean? Well, let's read, and then it should come to your mind just what it means. Verse 7. Some trust in chariots, and some in horses. But we will make mention of the name of the Lord our God. So, chariots and horses. Some people trust in those things. But David the psalmist says, we will make mention of the name of the Lord our God. Now, Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah 7. And look at verse 4. Trust you not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Three times, lying words, the temple of the Lord. Now, look at verse 8. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods that you have not known, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered, that ye may do all these abominations? Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I, even I, have seen it, saith the Lord. Now, let's look in the New Testament. Turn to Mark chapter 11. Verse 20. And as they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Rabbi, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto him, have faith in God. Once more. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now turn to Luke 18. Verse 9. And he spake also this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and set all others at naught. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I say unto you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for every one that exalteth himself shall be humbled, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, John chapter 12. Let's read 14 first. John 14. John 14. And starting at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. One of the most remarkable statements in the Bible. The Savior says, you believe in God, believe also in me. Now chapter 12. Let's start reading at verse 47. And if any man hear my sayings and keep them not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judgeth him. The word that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day. In chapter 5, verse 45, the Savior is speaking and he says, think not that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Those are enough verses to read for now. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for all the scriptures that we've read. The entrance of thy word giveth light, and we thank you for the light that has been shed upon our hearts. Our God, thou dost know the truth of all the things that we've read. We have seen things that men have trusted in, and they have been warned about trusting in things not divine. And we have read about other things in which men have trusted, and they have been told what is the outcome of trusting in things that are divine. And we pray that this day we shall be able to discern between the two, to distinguish what is of God and what is of man. And so, our Father, we pray that you shall help us as we consider these portions together. Let us know the help that is needed from on high. And so, our Father, prepare our hearts to hear the word of God, to understand the word of God, and empower him who speaks to explain it so that we'll be able to understand it and be blessed, our God, during this time when thy word is being considered. Undertake for us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. What is so remarkable in the portions that we've read, and I want to bring several others to your attention, is this. The things men trust in that are not divine. But thank God for this. I've also read you things that our Savior said we should trust in, and all of those things are divine. Now, you must examine your own heart for this reason. If you're not careful, you will discover you are trusting in something that is not divine, and God has never told us to trust in anything that is not divine, but only in things that are divine. Think now, at first, what our Savior said. He had performed a miracle. He spoke to the fig tree and it withered. And when the disciples saw it and understood what had happened, they came to the Savior and said, "Why, the fig tree that you cursed, why, it's withered away." And our Savior said this, "Have faith in God." You say, they are simple words. The hardest words for man to understand and to embrace and to base his life upon, the hardest things at all that are in the Bible are these words. Have faith in God. This comes to mind immediately. When our Savior went and spoke to Martha about her brother who had died, she said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died." And Lord Jesus said, "Your brother shall live again." She said, "Yes, Lord, I know he will live again in the resurrection at the last day." And the Lord Jesus said, "I am the resurrection." She was trusting in something other than what was divine. What would eventually take place, she was not able to understand it, but the Lord Jesus pointed her to something that was more than her hope in the future. Some vague hope that she was not able to understand. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the resurrection." Now, it either means one of two things, that our Savior was insane or our Savior was divine. And had he made that promise and then gone and told them to remove the stone from the tomb and said, "Lazarus, come forth," and nothing had happened, we would all look at him and shake our heads and say, "The man is insane." But our Savior said, "Lazarus, come forth," and he did come forth. And therefore, our Savior was divine. And I want to place my trust in something that is divine. And again, I do not blame the Jews for taking up stones to stone the Savior, unless he was divine, for this reason. Our Savior, in speaking in John 14 about heaven, he said this, "You believe in God, believe also in me." What would you think of any man if I were to say it? "You believe in God, believe also in me." What would you think of such a statement? You would say that is blasphemy, and it would be. Any man who would say, "You have faith in God, have faith also in me." Unless that man was equal with God, the man would be a blasphemer, or we could politely say what men said concerning the Lord Jesus. They said concerning him, "He is beside himself. He's out of his mind. He is insane." And that is why the Jews wanted to stone the Lord Jesus Christ, because they told him this. He said, "Why is it that you want to kill me?" They said, "Because you, being a man, make yourself God." And the Lord Jesus said this, "Before Abraham was, I am." And they wanted to take up stones and stone him. And they rightly wanted to stone him unless our Savior was divine. And so there are many things that men have trusted in. They have trusted in other men. They have trusted in men like Abraham and like Moses. And they have been rebuked for trusting in other men. But there is one man that the Bible tells us to trust in. And if we do not trust in him, all hope of salvation is gone. But let me tell you a little bit about men that people in the Bible have trusted in, and their trust was in vain. When John the Baptist came preaching, he addressed the people in this way. He said, "You offspring of vipers," he said, "you serpents," he said, "begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father." He said, "God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." And so the Jews were trusting in their genealogical descent from Abraham. They could say to this, "Do you know who I am? I am a Jew. You despise me a Jew? I can point my ancestry, and it goes back to Abraham. And Abraham was called the friend of God." And this is what John the Baptist says. "Begin not to say that Abraham is your father. Do not trust in Abraham, because God is of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." And some people today, some of the Jews, and this is what is so sad, think that their future is secure because they can say, "I am a descendant of Abraham." This is the way they prayed, "O God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob." And that is the way that they would pray. But our prayer is this. The Lord Jesus said, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do." And so I can pray this, "O God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob." But I'm not going to mention those names in whom I trust. I'm not going to mention those names and say, "Because of their goodness, because of their standing in your sight, answer my prayers." But I'm going to pray, "In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord, I want you to answer my prayer." Why? Because the Lord Jesus could say this, "I and the Father are one." And therefore, if I tell you this day to trust in God the Father and God the Son and the Word of God, I'm telling you to trust in things divine and not in things not divine. Everything else that men mention and trust in, unless they are the Father and the Son and the Word of God, they are trusting in things other than divine things, and all hope of salvation is gone. Notice, they have mentioned Abraham, and they mentioned it on more occasions than one. When the Lord Jesus was speaking to them, they said, "We be sons of Abraham." And the Lord Jesus said, "I know that Abraham is your father, your physical father after the flesh, but it means absolutely nothing, because you have to become spiritual sons of Abraham." He said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." And this infuriated them. They said, "You are not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" And that is when the Lord Jesus told them his actual being. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." But here were Jews, and they were all trusting in Abraham. And they told Christ, and they told John the Baptist, that they were descendants of Abraham. And John the Baptist said, "It means nothing. God can of these stones raise up children to Abraham." And they said, "We are sons of Abraham." And the Lord Jesus said, You may be physical sons of Abraham, but spiritually you are of your father, the devil. And so I am able to trace back my genealogy, but when it comes way to distant roots, I am not a descendant of Shem, but I am a descendant of Japheth. And that's all that I can say. But if we all go back far enough, we are descendants of Adam. And that's the thing that counts, because it says, as in Adam, all die. And we point back to one, our father, Abraham. And our father, our first father, failed. And every descendant of his that is come into existence has failed, except one. And that is our Savior. And that is why, if someone comes to you and mentions anything other than the name of Jesus Christ the Lord, in whom you are to trust, then he's trying to get you to trust in something other than something that is divine. Now, let me tell you about Moses. When the blind man had his eyes opened by the Lord Jesus, the Jews kept asking him, "Who opened your eyes?" And at the time, he did not know that it was Jesus who had opened his eyes. And so they kept asking him. And finally, he said to them, "Would you become his disciple?" And in scorn, they said, "You are his disciples." They said, "We are Moses' disciples." And this is what the Savior said in John chapter 5. And this is what is so devastating to a man who says, "I am a disciple of Moses." The Lord Jesus said, "If you believed in Moses, you would believe in me, because he spoke of me." And so we have these first five books of the Bible that we accept as being written by Moses. And the Lord Jesus said, "Moses wrote of me." You say, where in these books did he write of him? The Lord Jesus gives us one example. That's all that I need to bring to your attention. He said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Moses wrote of the Lord Jesus in type. Every lamb that was written of in the book of Leviticus, it was slain upon the altar. It was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose precious blood takes away the sin of the world. And John the Baptist looked at Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And so he said, "You are Moses' disciples?" He said, "Well then, you should become my disciples, because Moses wrote of me." But they rejected that. And the Lord Jesus said this, "Do not think that I will accuse you unto the Father. There is another who accuses you, even Moses, in whom you have put your trust." But that is not enough to put your trust in a man. Do you not realize that I am associated with Moses, that great deliverer who took the nation of Israel and delivered them as slaves from Egypt and brought them to the edge of the promised land? Do you not realize that we are associated with him? And the Lord Jesus would tell them, it means absolutely nothing if you're associated with Moses. And John the Baptist would say, it means absolutely nothing if you're associated with Abraham. He said, you must be associated with me. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so if I speak of the Father, or of the Son, or of the Word of God, I am speaking of things divine. Now, let me tell you more of what Christ spoke of when he said, "Trust me." He said, "You think that Moses is your friend. You think that he is going to defend you in the coming day." He said, "But Moses shall not defend you." He said, you put your trust in Moses? He said, Moses can do nothing for you, but I want you to understand this. Moses, in the final day, is going to accuse you. But there is something else that's going to accuse you. It is the words that I speak. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they shall judge you in the last day. Think of what Christ has said. The words that I speak unto you, they shall judge you in the last day. Everything that I've told you is going to judge you at the last day. The things that I've told you, why? Because this morning I've told you only the things that have been taken from the Word of God. And the Word of God is that which is divine. I've told you the words of Christ. And Christ has said in John chapter 12, the words that I speak unto you, they will judge you in the last day. And so men look at this book and they say it is filled with contradictions. It is filled with things that men cannot believe. The Lord Jesus said, you may say what you will about the words that I've spoken unto you. You may reject my words. You may reject me. But I want you to understand that in the last day, the very words that I spoke on earth that have been recorded in this book, in that last day, these words are going to be brought before your eyes, and they shall condemn you. And I said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I have said that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, I am to be lifted up on the cross, and you have to believe in me as they look to that serpent to be healed physically. He said, I am the only hope that you can get to heaven. And this is what he said. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. And therefore, any man who trusts in the Father or the Son or the Word of God for salvation, that man's salvation and safety are secure. Why? Because he's trusting in something divine. But if he trusts in anything else other than these three things, then his salvation is like built upon the sand. And when the flood and winds of the judgment of God come, his trust will collapse because it has no foundation. Now, listen to what the psalmist says. He says, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will make mention of the name of the Lord our God. And so here are some soldiers, and the Egyptians were those that trusted in chariots. And when the Israelites heard that Pharaoh was coming after him in all of their chariots, they trembled. And the Bible says, some trust in chariots, and some trust in horses. There are those who have been pursued by the enemy, and they jump upon their horse, and they flee for their lives. And so they trusted in chariots, and they trusted in horses. But David says, no, because let me ask you this. Those like Pharaoh who trusted in horses and chariots, when Moses lifted up his rod and spoke to the waters of the Red Sea, and they opened, and the Israelites went through. What happened when he let down that rod and God brought to an end his control over those waters? You say, those waters came and engulfed Pharaoh and all his horses and then all his chariots. And what happened to them that trusted in those horses and chariots? You say they were all drowned. And that's what happens to everybody who trusts in horses and in chariots. But those that trust in the name of the Lord are secure. Think of these poor, helpless Israelites, ready to be slaughtered by Pharaoh with his horses and chariots. But at the end, they who trusted in the Lord, what happened? You say, why? They continued on toward the promised land, and Pharaoh with his horses and chariots they were all drowned. Now, let me tell you about this. Some weeks back, it was read to us about Goliath who came, and it spoke about his armor and his spear and his sword, all of these physical things, his armor that he trusted in. And the Lord Jesus spoke about Satan, the strong man. He trusts in his armor. And Goliath trusted in his armor. And they tried to get David to trust in armor. One of the funniest scenes in the Bible is this. David was a smaller man. And here is Saul. And when David said, I will go and fight Goliath, Saul said, well, take my armor and put it on. And think of little David, a young youth in his teens, trying to put on the armor of King Saul. And he was moving around in that armor. And David said, I haven't proved this armor. I can't prove this armor. I can't use this armor. He said, leave me to trust in God. And I have 5 smooth stones and my slingshot, and I have my staff. That's all that I need, these. And I'm trusting in God to give me the victory with these things. I'm not trusting in these things, but I'm trusting in God to enable me to use these things to His glory. And he ran toward the giant, and he slung one stone, and that stone entered into the brain of Goliath. And he fell down, and to make sure he was dead, David went and took his sword and cut off his head. And then he went around displaying that head, the head of the man who said, I will make you food for the birds. And then David, who trusted in the name of the Lord his God, he came off the victor. And so notice, some have trusted in horses, and some have trusted in chariots, and some have trusted in armor. And all who trusted in those things have been destroyed. But the ones who trusted in the name of the Lord their God, they are the ones who were victorious, and they were the ones whom God looked upon with favor. Now, what is so sad is this, that in addition to those things, some have trusted in divine things in a wrong way. Do you realize that when Moses had the tabernacle built, that was something divine? Not one idea of Moses went into that tabernacle. God told Moses how to build that tabernacle. He told him how to construct every article of furniture in that tabernacle. And to show you it was divine, on the day it was completed and erected, it said that the cloud of God surrounded, filled that tabernacle, and the glory of God came into that tabernacle. That tabernacle was divine. And that Ark of the Covenant was divine. But what happened was this. They trusted in the physical part of that which was divinely constructed. The blueprint for it was divinely given. They trusted in the physical things having to do with the tabernacle and having to do with the furniture. And all of those things were of no avail, because to trust in something that God Himself told you how to construct rather than in the God who was behind the construction of it is trusting in something other than divine. Why? Let me tell you of the superstition of the Israelites in the days of the old king, that king Eli, that old priest, and the king that they had. Here is Elihu, and the Israelites went out to fight the battle, and their enemy overcame them. But they went and said, bring us the Ark of the Covenant. And the priests let them take that Ark of the Covenant and march before us. And the enemy will be powerless to stand before us. They believed it, and the enemy believed it, because when they heard a shout go up from the army of Israel, it said the enemy said, what is happening? They said, they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant. They said, woe is us, because God will fight for them. But they did not understand that there has to be not only the physical aspect, but the spiritual aspect as well behind what they are carrying forth. And they took forth that ark in the name of God, and their hearts were barren and were hypocritical and were sinful, and holding the Ark of the Covenant as they went forth to fight with the enemy, it meant absolutely nothing. And so some trusted in horses and chariots that weren't divine, and some trusted in an article of furniture that was the most divine article of furniture in possession of the Israelites, but that material article of furniture in itself, which was divinely told how to build, was not enough to give them victory over their enemy. You see, some trust in physical things, in material things, but let me tell you the worst of all, and this is so sad. I read it to you from the book of Jeremiah. If they trusted in that Ark of the Covenant, that's one thing. But there were others who said this, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. They were shouting to God about the holiness of his temple. And God said exactly what they were doing. He said, you go out and you commit adultery and you commit murder and you steal and you bear false witness, and you come back and shout, the temple of the Lord, and you go and stand in the temple of the Lord, and you think that God is going to forgive you. God said you will go to hell. And so I want all of us to remember this, and I'm taking this to heart. I believe that when we come and remember the Lord, it's the most sacred of meetings. And we're able to go around to the denominations and say, do you remember the Lord on the first day of the week? And you can boast about this meeting that we have. They said, the temple of the Lord. And we say, the table of the Lord, the Lord's Supper. It means absolutely nothing unless your heart is pure. You have to worship God in spirit and in truth. And mentioning that you have come and partaken at the Lord's Supper will in no wise get you to heaven, because you're trusting in a physical thing. There are some who trust in rituals. I remember that when I was in the Navy and they asked me if I were a Christian, at that time I gave them an answer something like this, why, of course, I have been baptized and I have joined the church. What had I done? I told them that I was trusting in something other than what was divine. But finally, when I came to my senses, I told God this. I said, Lord, at one time I trusted in the church, and I trusted in my baptism, and I trusted in what I used to do, thinking that that goodness would get me to heaven. Lord, you have shown me that it's all worthless. What things I counted gain, I count now as dung. But Father, I trust in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened was this. The church is good. Baptism is good. But trusting in those things that are not divine will not get you to heaven. And that's what I was trusting in before I trusted Christ as Savior. But when I came to my senses, I did away as the Apostle Paul did in all things not divine. And I trusted in him who was divine. And so now, chariots, horses, the temple, the Ark of the Covenant, baptism, my descendants from Abraham or Moses, it means absolutely nothing, because they are things not divine. But when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are trusting in Him who is divine. So let us have this much understanding of the teaching of God's Word. Trust in that which is divine, and not in things other than divine. That's enough. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for the many illustrations that You've given us of the folly of men. Some trust in themselves, their church, their attendance at the Lord's Supper. Some trust our God in the physical things of life. But Your Son has told us that the only thing that can be trusted is His Word and His person. And that is what we trust in. We are thankful, our Father, that You've shown us all these things that are not divine. And You have shown us the things that are divine. The Father, the Son, the Spirit of God who works in our hearts, and the Word of God, which You have told us, I have magnified My Word above all My name. And Your Son has said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall never pass away. Your Word is divine, and we trust not in it as a book, as words, but in Him of whom it speaks, in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us upon the cross. And so, Father, we thank You for showing us what is divine and what is not divine. And by Your grace, we shall trust in Him who is divine, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.